Want to talk to us? Call the Fidelity Communications Hotline at 501-386-9600.
Back at it, we're going to use the Fidelity Communications Hotline right now. We're bringing in Jimmy Carter from WholeHogSports.com. Jimmy, welcome to the show. What's up?
Not a whole lot, man. I'm trying to get ready for this busy weekend. Got the red-white game tomorrow and Auburn on Saturday. So at least we know that they will not lose one of those games. So I guess that's the optimistic way to look at it.
Okay, let's start with Alabama, and then we'll finish with basketball and finish on something positive and leave everybody in a good mood as we go to hour number three.
All right, sounds good.
All right, let me – what about – I haven't got to the bottom of this. The punting thing, the punter. What was going on when he dropped the ball and then throws it up like that? I mean –
I think
he should know that when you try to throw it, it doesn't matter if you complete it because you're going to have somebody downfield covering the punt. It's going to be illegal man downfield. So you got to kick the ball. You've got to kick it no matter what. You just got to punt it. And he took 9 steps. I counted it. Did the coaches address this? What was going on?
Yeah, obviously he just panicked. I think that's the easy and explainable answer. He clearly. You know, he's not somebody that's been in that position before. He's obviously only punted, 5 games now for them? And he's never really had to go through that before. It was a great snap. He just dropped it. And he clearly panicked, got the ball, and 9 steps. I applaud you going back and counting that he actually took 9 steps. But, everybody in the stadium was sitting there thinking, what are you doing? He obviously was after it, but you put – yourself out there with Alabama's defense essentially coming after you with a free rush, then I would probably panic as well. And it made a bad start worse. Obviously, you go from giving up a 75-yard touchdown run, going 3-and-out, and then that essentially gifting Bama 3 points. It made Arkansas look very amateurish, I thought, at the beginning of the game. I mean, that was one of the worst starts that you could have scripted. Obviously that's something that Paul Rhodes said the other day. That's not how you draw it up. And he was talking more about the defense, but you can really apply that over the entire first, 4 minutes of the game. It was very, very evident that it was not going to be a close game. And that played a big part in it. He hadn't really punted the ball that great this year. I thought he actually punted the ball decently on Saturday. It's one of his better games, but it's kind of hard to bounce back after you make an error that egregious right off the bat that allows the other team to have so much momentum right off the start.
You know, I watch a lot of your interviews and the stuff that you guys put on WholeHogSports.com and what the Razorback Nation does. And you know what? They're saying the right things. But maybe I'm gullible, but I seem to believe I'm looking at their body language, their facial features. It seems like to me this team is still fighting and they still – I know they care, but they're still getting after it. And so I think there's a chance the season is still salvageable, that they can try to put something together.
Depends on what your definition of salvageable is, obviously. I think if that's going to a bowl game, then yes. I think it's still salvageable. It's not like they're eliminated from that possibility. It's getting harder. Obviously their chances dwindle every time they lose a game. If they lose again this week, that means that they either have to win 4 out of 5 games or there's so many bowls. If they get the 5 wins, their GPA is, like everybody likes to joke about their GPA being so high. Maybe they get that even at 5-7. But, I agree with what you're saying. I agree with the premise that they are saying the right things. And I think, you always look at how – You want to hear what they have to say, but actions are going to tell you obviously more. And I think looking at how they competed against Bama, they obviously weren't going to win that game. I think everybody in the stadium knew it after the first couple minutes. It became very apparent that Alabama, they exerted themselves, and that was going to be it. But I didn't see really any quit. They still competed hard defensively. They didn't play a great game, but they had stretches. Obviously, this is not a defense without flaws, and Alabama's a really good team and exposes some of those flaws. But they still looked like they cared. They still look like they're competing and trying, and I think Paul Rhodes gets them to buy in. Offensively, obviously the line, I think any line they put out there was going to struggle mightily. We've seen nothing this year to make us, you know, think that they have some combination on the offensive line that's just incredible. But, you know, I think they tried. I think they rallied around Cole Kelly. I think he's somebody that everybody on the team really likes. And, you know, there was not – they didn't lose because of a lack of effort. They lost because they're a, you know, much worse than one of the best teams in college football. So, you know, whether they can – if they come out and, you know, everybody thinks Auburn's going to win. Auburn's really physical, just like Alabama. Obviously, they lost LSU last week, but – still one of the most physical teams in the country. If they lose that game, I think, you know, the cumulative mental and physical toll is something you have to worry about. But to this point, I don't think you've seen, you know, there was much better effort against Alabama than there was South Carolina. That's what Frank Ragnow talked about after the game. The vibe was better. And, you know, I think that's encouraging. We'll have to see how long they can maintain that if they keep losing games.
I think that Ole Miss game is going to be huge. You know, that's the one. You know, you win that game, you get Coastal Carolina, you got a little life. If you lose that game,
right,
and you're 2-6 with 4 to go, or 2-7, I can't even do the math. I wouldn't like to think that.
It's a swing game. It's a huge swing game. Because if you win that game, you've got Coastal Carolina, like you said, and you're at 4 wins all of a sudden, and it suddenly seems like, you know, it's not a position you want to be in, but you would have a chance at least.
We're talking with Jimmy Carter. He's on the Fidelity Communications Hotline. Jimmy writes for WholeHogSports.com. Jimmy, I saw in the newspaper this morning that Tom Murphy graded the Razorbacks. Tom's a nice guy. Let me just say that. He's a really nice guy. And I thought he was awfully kind with his rating, his grades for the Razorbacks. C-, C+, C-, D, C, B-, C, D+, C. I don't see much average out there. You know, if I'm doing it, there's a lot of D minuses, D's, a couple of F's, maybe one or two C's. But did you see the ratings? What did you think of the ratings?
I have not seen the ratings. Tom is my guy. Obviously, we work together, so I can't sit here and take shots at him. But I might have thrown a few D's and F's in there. I would probably think strongly. I mean, the offensive line would get an F from me. I think at this point that's very defensible rating. And, you know, honestly, I've been very, very underwhelmed with how the defensive line's played. So they would be in the D minus F range to me. There's not a whole lot. I would give a B to the secondary because I think Josh Liddell and DeAndre Coley are liabilities at certain points. Almost every single game they're going to give up a play. But the rest of the guys, obviously teams are targeting Cameron Curl, but he's held up pretty well. I think everyone can see that he's going to be good. I think the secondary is the strength on defense. Scooter Harris is playing well. The linebackers I would give an average grade to. I don't think, you know, Brett mentioned it the other day, and so did Paul Rhodes. Dre's got to be better. So that would be average. Yeah, I mean, I could see some average grades. Receivers would probably have to be like a D plus or something like that, because Nance is the only one who's consistently been able to do it. Obviously, they've had a hard time getting open. So yeah, maybe a couple more D's if you buy into the notion that a C is average. And so if you've got below average players, performance, you have to be below that. So the only ones that I would really consider giving F's to are both lines, which is obviously a really telling statement and explains why this football team struggled to the degree that it has.
And special teams. I thought it was just hideous teams.
Yeah.
They're a disaster.
Yeah, they're probably the most clear-cut F on the team, maybe. I forgot about that completely.
Talking with Jimmy Carter, and speaking of giving out grades and awards, I saw where you put out your ballot for the SEC preseason rankings, and you had Arkansas 6, just like the rest of the media and the SEC rankings. I thought that was a little low, actually. I thought, you know, I know Missouri's got some young guys, and Alabama's got, you know, Sexton and, you know, Porter coming in for those two teams, but, you know, they're still freshmen.
Right.
And I still, you know, I remember LSU. You remember that they were supposed to be all great and mighty. And, you know, sometimes it's a little tough with these one-and-dones when teams aren't used to dealing with one-and-dones. I think I might have put Arkansas fourth ahead of Alabama and Missouri.
Okay, so I'll tell you why I put Arkansas behind those two. And here, I'll say this just as a disclaimer right off the bat. Arkansas has outperformed their SEC projection 4 years in a row. And like I said in my thing, I am completely ready to be proven wrong on that come March. I like the upside of those teams better. And obviously, like you mentioned, Ben Simmons and LSU didn't work out. That's kind of what Michael Porter's got to deal with it at Missouri, because each of the last two draft picks, the top draft picks, Simmons and Markelle Fultz, both played for terrible teams who didn't make the NCAA tournament. He's got a lot more talent around him at Missouri than either of those two guys had. Obviously, the onus is now on Quanzo Martin to make that a roster that fits and gels and all that. And it's easier said than done. They're very, very talented. I think they might be the second most talented team, just, you know, raw talent in the conference. But they are young. I think the freshman thing, while valid, is maybe a little bit overstated, because you see so many freshmen impact college basketball. It's not like an aberration or something that doesn't happen anymore. Especially a lot of these highly rated guys, obviously they're going to be busts, but most of these guys that are studs come in and perform at a very, very high rate, high level right off the bat. Bama was terrible on offense last year. They had the number one defense in the conference, number 10 defense in the country. And they add in Colin Sexton, who I think is going to have an incredible season. He's a potential top five draft pick. They've got another guy, another guard coming in who can really shoot it. I think that they finally got some offense to go with that. If Avery Johnson doesn't get it turned around this year, then that's a big issue, because this team has got a lot of talent, and they definitely fit well. While Missouri's got to kind of figure that out, I think Alabama's got a lot of pieces that really fit. And then I put Kentucky, I put A&M and Florida also above Arkansas. I'm not as high on Florida as some people are, but I think you've got to respect what they did last year, and they bring a lot of guys back from that, even though they did lose some key guys. That said, I could see Arkansas finishing anywhere from third to sixth. I think they've got to have the sophomore C.J. Jones, Adriel Bailey step up, and I'm not really worried about Gafford stepping up. There'll be some growing pains for sure, but he's so physically gifted. I think he's going to his baseline, his floor is pretty high. I think he'll be good. I think that some people look and see that they have six seniors and think they're super experienced and deep, but they don't have a junior class. And of those six seniors, only, you know, they've got two really good players, two solid contributors, and the other two really haven't proven anything at the Division I level. So they're not, I don't think, as experienced as some people think or would like to say, but I do think that they will be in the NCAA tournament. I think the league gets six or seven teams. Arkansas will firmly be in that top six. I could see them finishing higher. I just went with them six because I think that there's a lot of talent and depth in the SEC this year.
No doubt about it. This is the best the SEC's been since probably in mid-2000s, back when they were getting six, seven, eight, you know, teams in the tournament. I think they get a chance to do that again this year. Gafford, what do they need out of him? You know, we talked about some great freshmen, and I think Gafford's in the conversation, not being the one-and-done type, but they're not depending on the music's playing. What do you think? What do they need out of Gafford?
I think they just need him to be what he is, really athletic, a rim protector, shot blocker, somebody who can finish it near the goal. He's going to be a big-time player, I think, for him.
That's the way to finish right there, positive note. Jimmy Carter, Whole Lot of Sports. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, man. See ya.
Hour number three is coming up next. It's Game On.
Listen and imagine.